Welcome to Critical Issues Commentary, the radio ministry of Twin City Fellowship. This is Bob DeWay, pastor of Twin City Fellowship, and today I'm speaking with Brian Flynn, the author of Running Against the Wind, The Transformation of a New Age Medium, and his warning to the church. We're doing a series of radio broadcasts based on his book, where he tells a story about how he was involved in the New Age and many different spiritual practices, and how the Lord brought him to salvation, and consequently he began to study the Bible and see that some of these New Age practices were coming into the church.
Correct.
So that's the basic idea of the book, but at this point we're talking about his story of exploring spirituality by using various self-help spiritual gurus, Anthony Robbins, and the last thing we talked about was the Celestine Prophecy. So, Brian, in your book, you met a girl and who was very much into this same approach to spirituality. Is that right?
Correct. We eventually married, but she was very charming and free spirit. We just hit it off immediately. As I said last week, we just connected on a spiritual level because we believed the same things. You know, we had the same philosophy about life. And one of them for sure was that Christianity could not be true. That was a judgmental religion, a harsh religion with so many restrictions that I don't know who could actually live that way. So that was something that we had in common right away. And she was always into different spiritual practices. And again, because I had so little in my life spiritually, that when she offered some of these methods, I was open to them. You know, I was looking for some type of satisfaction, as we all are. We're looking for truth. We're looking for some relationship with God or the universe or something, because I think it's true that human nature does know or believes that there is something outside of us, that there is something more than what we see in front of our eyes every day.
Yeah, that must be true, because look at the history of the world. There's always been religions and ideas about religion. Atheism is sort of the anomaly, that or the out-of-the-ordinary thing.
Correct.
So you met this girl, and that's who you married.
Correct.
And the two of you were married at the Unity Church?
Right, that's where we were going to church. And Unity Church wasn't really a Christian church, but I didn't know any better. You know, to me, it was a building where you sat in pews. So to me, that was a church.
Okay.
But in every service, we had this group silent meditation in which the whole place would be silent for, gosh, quite a bit of time. I mean, maybe 5-10 minutes. I mean, that's a long time for an entire group of 200-300 people to be completely silent. And you did that each time. But they talked about Jesus, but more as a metaphysical being or an event, but they never ever said that he was a real person who was God. It was more or less a concept of Jesus as being a kind, loving person that we should emulate.
Some sort of a spiritual Jesus, but not a real one who came in the flesh.
Correct.
That reminds me of 1 John 4, where it says that every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ came in the flesh is not from God.
And they were not from God.
They were not from God.
But okay. What struck me, even though I was a very, very nominal Christian, if somebody asked me if I was a Christian, I probably, in a survey, I would have said yes. So I did have some basics of Christianity, but what struck me is their bookstore was filled with nothing but New Age stuff. So I thought, what kind of church is this that sells Eastern mystical books? You know, their entire library was this way. So I thought, I never did really understand that.
Okay, but you had a church that wasn't judging anybody, right?
Absolutely no judgment.
Except for real Christians.
No, just Christians are open to judgment. The rest, okay. Everybody else is great.
Everybody's okay, but the real Christians that have boundaries,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we don't like those boundaries.
No boundaries. So you mentioned that one underlying belief was the idea that all paths lead to God.
That is the central belief system of anyone that's in a New Age pagan Eastern belief system. That is the one idea that ties them all together. When you look at the broad scope of what it means to be New Age encompasses a lot of disciplines, practices, but if you boil it down, they believe that in a postmodern view, that there is no truth, that there is no absolute, that there is no one way to God. Any way you choose is fine, whether you're Buddhist or Hindu or whatever. God, because he's an all-loving being or entity or force, there's no judgment there.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that in some ways we would say all paths lead to God, in the sense that in the end, everyone is going to be appearing before God, either for reward or judgment.
That's true.
So that path that leads to God might be a very bad thing if you don't know God through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So the key is to deny future judgment. And that's, again, I just finished reading a book by Brian McLaren called The Secret Message of Jesus. And it's got the same basic idea. We're all working together. God is making the world become better and better. He's still creating the world. There's no future judgment. In fact, he's even wondering, he believes in universal resurrection to be on the earth. But he says, I don't know how everybody's going to fit, because he doesn't believe that most of the people resurrected are going to be sent to hell. In McLaren's book, The Secret Message of Jesus. So as I'm reading your book, it strikes me that Christianity is coming up with this same set of beliefs, and they also have this theology that God is the future, drawing everything into himself.
Yeah.
That's the same basic idea. And they're even calling it Trinitarian panentheism. God is in everything. God is bringing everything to himself. God is still creating the world. Things are going to get better.
Right.
And I don't see how that's any different than this New Age idea that all paths lead to God.
It doesn't, and that's why the contemplative movement, when I started examining it, was familiar ground to me. When I read McLaren or some of these other people, their ideas are the same ones that I was involved in at the time we're talking about in my book. We would have agreed almost completely. The only thing would have confused me, probably, is that, but you still call yourself a Christian, but we seem to have the same ideas. Why is that? So the reason for my book, and the reason I take people through my testimony, is so that they can understand that I've lived this. I have done this. This is why I know that contemplative spirituality is, in a sense, New Age, because the ideas are the same, and unfortunately, they lead to the same place, and that is deception.
Yeah, absolutely. I noticed as I read your story that you couldn't get away from Christians. They kept finding you and telling you about Christianity.
They'd hunt me down wherever I went.
And I think you talked about a previous girlfriend that you met, and she'd become a Christian since the last time you saw her.
Right. That was Sarah that I mentioned earlier in the book, that when we lived together and we met in Alaska.
Oh, the one from Alaska.
Correct.
Wow.
So she called me out of the blue. At that time, Haley and I were living together, and she called me out of the blue to tell him, you know, really, I think it was part of some of the therapy that she was going through. I shouldn't say therapy, but she was just reviewing some of the things that she'd done in her life. She was an alcoholic and had freed herself from that through Christ, that she no longer was drinking. And she just wanted to reconnect with me and apologize for some of the things that we'd gone through together. But her main reason for calling was to share with me the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Wow.
That she was saved, and she wanted to know where I was. And I said, well, you know, I'm going to church. I'm going to Unity Church. And then there was this pause because she knew what Unity was. And she goes, well, you know, they don't really believe the Bible is true. And I immediately got upset. And I just said, oh, so you're one of these people. Oh, great. You're one of those now that believe that if I don't follow Jesus, then I'm going to go to hell. Is that it? And she basically told me, yeah, that's true.
Wow.
So Haley at that time was hearing this conversation. She's like, going, hang up. We don't need this stuff. So after I hung up, she goes, what is it with these Christians? Unless we go along with their view of the world, then we're condemned to hell. And I said, well, at least we'll be together, honey.
Huh.
That was my attitude. It's like this silliness of this Christian belief system in which there's this God of love who also punishes at the same time. Why don't you guys make up your mind? Which God are you talking about?
Yeah, which kind of underscores to me why we need to explain these things to people when we witness to them, whether they mock them or not. We need to tell people there really is a God. And why would a God of love punish sin? Well, because we would think that if we had a human judge who was responsible to judge, and a murderer was brought before him, and the human judge, in fact, I heard this as an example from Ray Comfort. He was witnessing this guy and admitted he'd broken the Ten Commandments. And so Ray Comfort says to him, so you're a liar, an adulterer, and a thief, and you believe that when you die, God's going to bring you into heaven. Yep. Well, why would God do that? Well, because God's a good guy.
He's a loving, forgiving God.
He's a loving, forgiving God. But he said, well, what if you had a human judge and somebody was a murderer and he admitted he was a murderer and he went before the judge. He said, well, I know I'm a murderer, but you should just let me go. And the judge says, well, why should I let you go? Because you're a good, loving judge. And the judge says to him, I am a good, loving man. And for that reason, I'm condemning you to prison because I'm responsible to keep people like you from harming people in this world.
Correct.
Okay, so it isn't a contradiction that a loving God would also be a just judge, especially when you realize that he sent Jesus Christ to bear the punishment for our sins,
yep,
demonstrating through the cross both his love and his justice.
So he does condemn us, and we all stand condemned.
Yes.
The New Age view outside Christianity is that God picks and chooses his favorites of who to raise up and who to destroy. No, we are all condemned.
Right.
But God shows his love and mercy by coming to earth through Christ to save the lost. That is the ultimate demonstration of love.
Right, but their idea of love is basically permissiveness.
Yes. It is, as the example I've used before, a true parent sets boundaries.
Absolutely. I was just thinking of the same thing. What if you're a parent and you have a 13-year-old daughter and she says, I want to go to this frat party with a bunch of football players from the university?
Yeah, how many parents are going to say yes to that?
and you say no and say, well, if you love me, you're going to let me go. No, I love you, so I won't let you go because I can't put you into that situation.
That's the example I use all the time, because now that people have grown up and they're adults, they have children, they realize that when they were kids, they thought discipline and boundaries were by mean-spirited parents. But now they know that that is an expression of love. Why God sets boundaries is out of love.
Absolutely. So the
not
new,
restriction.
It makes me think, Brian, it's like the New Age is a bunch of juvenile thinking people that are now come of age and they kept thinking the same way.
It is an adolescent movement that does not want restrictions, wants to do everything that I want, gain everything that I want, but never have to pay a price if I hurt someone else or do something wrong.
Wow. Well, so you've met a person who became, well, somebody you knew becomes a Christian, but you just don't think the idea of hell is even plausible.
No, not at all.
Yeah. So I notice in your book that part of what was motivating you was trying to become wealthy or to do better financially.
Yep.
So you tried the positive mental attitude.
I tried spiritual ways of doing things. And even if it wasn't about wealth, it's just that I knew there was something missing in my life. There was some piece missing that I needed that to be fulfilled.
Well, something struck me. You mentioned that you went into guided meditation in a sense to try to gain wealth. And in your story, you said that you actually got into the situation where you're supposed to be going up into the universe and looking down at yourself.
Right, right. I went to a course called Magnetizing and Manifesting.
There you go.
That by going through these guided meditations that the universe would be kind and money would flow to me. Many people have perhaps heard these before. There's tapes like this where it's like, well, you start off in a beautiful field in a sunny day. You lay down. You can smell the flowers. And then you slowly move out of your body, looking back down at your body as your soul drifts up into the universe. And at this point, you're going to meet with God, and God is going to give you some message.
Yeah. Okay. So you did, and you got a message. What did God tell you?
That basically I was a good person.
Okay. Brian, you're not a bad person.
I'm not a bad person. And I came back down in the field. And then the end of the course, and this was the way she ended, she goes, I want you this week to expect a check in the mail. A check in the mail is just going to come. Who knows where it's going to come from? It's just going to come in the mail.
Okay.
I didn't get a check.
You didn't get your check.
I didn't get my check.
You must have got gypped.
But she would make these predictions, but and then if somebody got a check or some money came to them unexpectedly.
Then they have a testimony.
Then they have a testimony.
Yeah.
But, of course, maybe it would have happened whether I showed up for the course or not.
I saw this preacher supposedly getting these words of knowledge on TV. So he's kind of praying. He says, God just showed me that there's somebody out there suffering from back pain.
Wow. How did he know that?
And so then the next week they'll get, you know, letters from listeners. Well, I pastor so-and-so.
You were talking about me?
You were talking about me.
Oh, my.
Okay, so I wonder why you would hear that you're not a bad person. Why do you get that message?
Well, you certainly are not going to get the message that you're a miserable sinner.
And bound for hell.
And bound for hell.
Right. It's a delusion from Satan to inoculate you against the gospel.
And even if it wasn't a spiritual voice, let's face it, we all think that of ourselves. We think that we're basically good people. Wasn't there a study done where they went into a death row and interviewed people that were murderers and rapists, and 80% of them believe that they were good people too?
Actually, I have a video clip. Cross TV has a video where they did that. They actually interviewed these guys. They got a video clip of it. These are like the worst, nasty enemies of society that did heinous things. And they'd ask them, well, what do you think about yourself? Well, I'm not so bad. I think I'm basically a good person. So that's the delusion of Satan to keep us from seeing our need for the gospel.
And then, of course, when you have that in your mind and someone tells you you're a sinner.
Makes you angry.
You're angry.
Yeah.
Makes you angry. I was told I was a good person. And you reject the message.
Remember, we were talking about Greg Boyd seeing as believing, and he goes and does the same sort of thing that you were doing in the New Age. And only he meets Jesus, and Jesus takes him back into the past. And you know what message he got? Griggy's not a bad boy.
Of course not.
It's the same message you got.
Absolutely. Maybe it's the same source, Greg.
Wow. Okay, so now you found out you're not a bad person from your New Age experience, and then you run into another Christian.
Yeah, I keep on running into these Christians. It was a gentleman that was one of my clients. I was selling artwork for businesses, and I met with him several times. And I got sharing with him the classes that I was going through. And he was very resistant to it, and he made no bones about it. And he gave me several biblical lessons. One was about just about money and success. And he really shared the biblical perspective of success. And that what struck me is that if his whole business went away, and he was very successful, he was a builder, and he said, you know, if it all went away, I'm still happy in life because I still have a relationship with God, and I'm sure God will share with me in the future why there's a reason why my business went down. Maybe there's something I will come from in the future, but it really doesn't matter to me because really all my wealth all came from the grace of God anyway, and all that I'm doing is being a good steward.
Now, what did you think about the guy at that point?
He bothered me. Those people that crisscrossed my life, I knew they had something I didn't. It was a confidence. It was an assurance. He was not looking for anything else. He had the gospel. He had Christ. It was a very definitive feeling of assurance. What he had was absolute truth. No need to waver. He felt completely comfortable as a Christian and knowing that Jesus Christ was Lord.
Wow. So in a lot of ways he had what you could never get from all these things you were doing.
Right. I knew he had something that I did not. Absolutely.
So, but you weren't.
But I knew the consequences of Christianity, and there was no way I was going to go there.
Yeah.
Because that meant I was going to have to adhere to boundaries.
Isn't that the issue? Are we willing to confess that Jesus is Lord? Is he really the Lord of the universe? And if God exists, does he have the right to tell us how to live? My story is very similar because before I was converted, I started running into Christians. Mm-hmm. And it was the same issue. And I remember it came down to the same thing for me. well, this was actually only days before I was converted. I determined there must be a God, and he must be loving, and he must have created the universe. I figured that much out from science and philosophy. But what I couldn't figure out was why he cared what I did. What's it going to hurt God if I go to a party and have fun?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it came down to for me, too. And little did I realize that I was just being deluded by Satan.
Well, I didn't believe that there was a Satan, so how could I be deluded?
Yeah, I remember, in fact, this was in 1971, I was converted on July 18th, 1971, and I remember telling the people that had been witnessing to me about that I met Christ, and then somebody said something about, well, we'll pray for you because Satan is certainly going to want to attack your faith. And I said, well, it took me all of this just to come to believe in God. Now I got to believe in Satan, too.
Yeah, now I got to understand him, too.
And then, well, they said, no, we're not going to make you believe in Satan. You'll find out soon enough that he exists.
Yep, you do find out.
Exactly. So you met another Christian, and he had something together, and you didn't think he was a hypocrite, did you?
No, he was a really good guy. He was someone that I truly admired, and I knew he wasn't. Well, he wasn't fitting my stereotype. He didn't seem judgmental or over the top. He just shared the basic principles of the gospel with me.
And he told you the truth of the Bible, and he was sure it was true.
Yep, absolutely.
And about that time, you're having financial troubles, and according to your book, you and your wife are fighting about money.
Right.
And so,
and of course, this is during the time where I started my new class, which is a class where I learned how to perform psychic readings.
So now your journey into the New Age is really getting even more into spiritual bondage.
Right.
As we see it now.
Right, because my friends Steve and Haley were nearly complete in this year-long course where at the end of it, you could perform psychic readings. Now, I had no particular desire to do psychic readings. That wasn't my desire when I went to the class. It was because they seemed to be connected to something, that they had some power, or they were connected to a power or connected to the universe or something. And because in a sense I had very little spiritually, again, I was looking for something that I could grasp onto. And so I decided to go through the year-long course.
Now, you mentioned in your book that when you first went, the person teaching you did a psychic reading on you?
Yeah, she did a reading for me. And what was really quite interesting is that the amount of information she got right. I mean, all that she did was sit across from me and closed her eyes for a moment, and then she just started telling me these things about myself that I had never shared with anybody. I mean, they were specific and correct. And that really impressed me because I didn't want to give her too much information because I thought, oh, she's just going to surmise things about me and that's how she's going to make me believe that she's got all this information or power. But I did none of that, and she was able to share with me information that she could not have known on her own.
So it was supernatural.
Absolutely.
And it was real.
It was real.
Now, just think about that. You know, it says in 2 Thessalonians that Antichrist will do lying signs and wonders. And these are real things.
Right. This wasn't a fraud. And a lot of Christians would ask me afterward when I, shared my testimony. So this whole thing was just kind of a fraud, right? You learn secret information some other means. I mean, like, no, there was nothing fraudulent about the process. It's just that these particular powers do have some knowledge beyond you and I. And that knowledge can be used to convince you that this is a power you can entrust yourself with.
So the experience, the reality of the experience, the profundity of the experience just made you more believe that it must be a good thing.
Sure. Afterward, I was completely impressed, and I just said, this is fascinating. This is great. I want to do this. So I signed up to go through the course.
Wow. You know, outside of the gospel, there really isn't any escape from delusion because it's real and it's powerful. What did you say in your seminar? Something about, I had an experience. How did it go?
Yeah, I had an experience. It was real. It was good. Therefore, it must be God. So what else could it be?
Yeah, so who's going to know the difference unless they actually believe the Bible?
That's right.
Yeah, so the delusion is indeed strong delusion.
Right. It's the outcome that proves whether it's good or not.
So when you get into the spiritual world, you try to decide based on pragmatism, you're going to be deceived.
Correct.
Because it does work. So you went into learning how to do psychic readings.
Yep.
And there was some other stuff. You talk about chakras. We don't want to go into a big detail about that, but you started being introduced to the idea of the chakras.
Right. The chakras are energy centers throughout the body, and each one has a particular identity or significance. And through this year-long course, it was in a sense almost like a therapy in which you could identify where some of the blocks were in some of your energy centers. And through the course, you could alleviate some of these blocks.
Okay.
And again, here it is. I want to remove blocks. For what reason? Happiness, success, a feeling of connectedness to the world. So if I can go through these practices and I can get rid of these things that are blocking me, bad memories or whatever they are, then I can be a fully aware super spiritual being.
Wow.
And achieve great happiness.
So when it comes to practical things like your house and your marriage and your finances, how are you doing there?
Horribly. That part of my life was very, very difficult. My marriage was really in great, dire straits at that time. I'm going through this course. I'm really getting, in a sense, a lot of therapy. I mean, I sat along with, you know, four other women plus the teacher. And a lot of times we just bare our souls about things that were going on in our lives. So in one sense, it was actually therapeutic in that you got to share some of your emotions with people each week. And so in that way, it was in some sense beneficial to me. But the ultimate goal was to become a more realized spiritual being and then be able to share that information with others by doing readings for them so that they could gain insight into their lives, make different decisions that would ultimately make them happier.
Isn't it rather ironic that both you and your wife are both supposedly getting closer and closer to this higher level of spirituality that's supposedly loving, problem solving.
Yeah. Right.
But it didn't actually do any good for the two of you.
No, the great irony was this, that we were extremely mean to each other. And I really, as looking back, that level of distress and anger was beyond anything that I've ever experienced before. I mean, we were never violent, of course, but we were very mean to each other. And our whole lives were collapsing around us. And yet here we are, supposedly these enlightened beings, and we're in a miserable place.
Maybe in a little microcosm, that shows what's so false about this idea that if everybody goes into TM and visualization, that we're going to have world peace. It can't even make peace between a man and a woman who are married. How is it going to resolve all the world conflicts?
And it wasn't giving me peace within myself, because I was a terribly depressed person at that time. That was a miserable time in my life. I did not have any happiness that supposedly all these courses and disciplines were to give me. It was really a horrible time.
I've heard your story now a number of times. I wonder if part of what's going on is the demons ultimately can't mask their true intentions.
That's exactly what it is. That's what my conclusion is about that time, is that while the demons were trying to fool me, I called them spirit guides at that time, to give me information and to feel like I was connected and whatever. In a sense, they were doing good things, supposedly. But why would they do good things? Only to keep me further in bondage. But ultimately, they can't help themselves because they are ultimately destroyers.
They're evil.
They are evil, and they could not resist the ability to put my marriage in jeopardy by constantly pitting each other against the other.
Wow.
There was just all this running tension. I mean, we had these demons trampling through our souls on a regular basis. Of course we were having difficulty because we were being manipulated. We were, in a sense, willing possessions. I thought that I had tapped into a power and I had control over this power, but I was completely deceived. That power had control over me and had control over my wife, but we did not understand that.
Wow. Well, that's a segue into next week. We'll be talking about guides from another world. and some of the dangers and delusions that are out there. Thank you, Brian. This is a fascinating story, and I thank God that he apprehended you through the gospel.
I am pleased to.
Amen. So you've been listening to Critical Issues Commentary, the radio ministry of Twin City Fellowship. And if you'd like to contact us, you can find us on the web, cicministry.org, or twincityfellowship.com. Or Brian, they can contact you.
My website is onetruthministries.com, O-N-E, truthministries.com.
Okay, so we will continue this series next week. Thanks for listening in. We'll see you then.